go ahead and get started here. And want to make sure you have the handout for today. So let's see if I can get somebody to pass them out here. But it should say 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 5, prayer concerning tribulation. So anybody not have the discussion questions, just raise your hand. And we'll get you one of those. So the one for today is 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 5. Okay, we'll start off with some prayer requests. And want to pray again for Sue. She has some broken ribs, she found out. So all right, so she's got a cracked elbow too, along with several broken ribs. How many?
Five quarters. Seven of them are, she said two through nine.
Two through nine ribs are broken. So, she, with the fall there, I'm assuming that's what did it. And taking some other tests still waiting on results. Okay, so she's had the CAT scan, still has an EKG yet to do, has a cast, soft cast on her arm. So pray for Sue. And then this week we're going to take a couple days and go to Williamsburg, leaving on Tuesday, coming back Friday. So pray for safety for our family, taking a little trip this week. So pray for that. Any other prayer requests or praises this morning? Yes, Shirley.
I have a niece that had her husband passed away this week,
and okay, a niece of Shirley's husband passed away this week. And so pray for her family, a niece of Shirley, her husband passed. Okay, anybody else? Any other prayer requests? Anything else this morning? All right. Well, let's go ahead and pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you are a merciful God, that you have a heart of compassion towards your people, even when they're going through trial. We think of Sue this morning as she is dealing with these issues from this fall. We pray that you would give her recovery as she has these broken ribs, cracked elbow, and waiting on other tests. We pray that you would strengthen her and be with Norm as well as he's taking care of her. We pray, Lord, for this niece of Shirley as her husband passed away this week. We pray for special comfort and draw near to the family and just lift up their family this morning. We pray, Lord, you'd help us as we travel this week. Pray that you give us safety going down to Williamsburg. And we pray, Lord, for this time that we have here together to study your word. Think of the other classes that are meeting. We pray that you would bless them, guide the teachers and the students. We pray that you would guide our minds as we seek to know what you would have for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We are in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We've been looking at the prayers of the Apostle Paul, kind of taking one passage every Sunday here. There's quite a few of these prayers. And we were in 1 Corinthians last week. We're jumping on ahead to 2 Corinthians. And Paul was very concerned about the church at Corinth. He had written these two letters and maybe more. There may have even been more communication that he wrote to them. And see that this second epistle kind of gives some of the results of the instruction and rebuke of the first epistle, and it was good. There was positive response there in Corinth. And there's evidence of that. There was still trouble there that had to be dealt with. Presence of false teachers in the church. And there's evidently a lot of accusation against the Apostle Paul as he was not there, but yet people were trying to disparage his ministry. And so Paul is defending his ministry all throughout 2 Corinthians. You see the heart of Paul for his ministry in 2 Corinthians. But as we begin this second letter, we're not going to go through all of it, obviously, but we're just looking at these prayers. We find a prayer at the beginning, and let's read it. First of all, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. So the prayers of Paul are, there's a great variety to them. You have some prayers where Paul is giving requests, and I believe last week was more along those lines. But there are other prayers that are like this, where Paul is praising God. And we could call this another prayer of adoration, where the focus is on God. And God is referred to with several titles. He's praising God. Blessed be God is this prayer here. And I want you to notice several of these titles. First of all, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's one way that he's adoring God. And that's going to come up again in another prayer we're going to look at. So probably spend more time on that when we get to Ephesians chapter 1. But I want to focus in on these other titles of God here. Really, I guess two or maybe three. But the first one is, blessed be God, the Father of mercies. Or actually the second one, the Father of mercies. So Paul is adoring God as the Father of mercies. What does that mean? Well, it means that God is a merciful God. The mercies come directly from Him, from His nature, from His direct decision. He sends forth these mercies. God is a God who delights to show mercy. The Father of mercies. That word mercy is the idea of the compassion that God has for people that are afflicted. There's a sympathy that God has for people in trouble. He's a merciful God. And the Corinthians were going through that. Paul himself, we're going to see, experienced that many times. So he's adoring God as the Father of mercies. And then notice it says in verse 3, the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. So he's adoring God in this prayer for God being the God of all comfort. What's comfort? You know, we use that word a lot. You know, you may or may not be comfortable in this room. I don't know. It's kind of relative, person to person. But we say a room can be comfortable, or, you know, a chair. Hey, this is a comfortable chair, and I like this. And or shoes. Do you have comfortable shoes on today? I hope. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe you're just going to endure them, you know, until you get home, get them off. They're not comfortable. So we use that term in different ways. But you look at this word, even the English word goes back to a Latin base of that word comfortable and comfort. And it has the idea in those languages to strengthen together, to make strong together, to comfort, to make strong together. And, you know, there may be situations where we don't feel very comfortable. Like, this isn't comfortable. This situation I'm in is not comfortable. But even in that situation, you can be comforted. You can be made strong. And I think that really goes along well with the biblical sense of what comfort is. It may or may not mean, you know, you're in a situation you feel comfortable. You may not feel comfortable, but you can still be comforted. And God is a God who gives comfort. He makes strong in a particular situation. And that here is that support under trials. It can be a strengthening of the mind where there is a danger of being overwhelmed by fear or sorrow. That's what God's comfort can be. A refreshment that we obtain from God, which may also come from others, as we're going to see as well. So, the God of all comfort, and He's the God of all comfort. You know, all comfort. What does that mean? It could be, all situations in which we need comfort. All kinds of comfort that there could possibly be. All kinds of ways that you can be made strong in a particular situation. It all comes from God. God is a God of all comfort. Do we see God in that way? Do we see God as a God of all comfort? God has in His nature here the ability to comfort at all times, with all power, in every situation. So God is a God of all comfort, and Paul is adoring God for that here. And then related to that, another aspect of God that Paul is adoring God for, in verse 4, God is a God who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So another aspect of God here is the God of all comfort, and He comforteth us. He says us here, Paul speaking about himself. Paul's experienced this. And the Corinthians have experienced this. And Paul is reminding them of that, even as he prays here. The situation of comfort here is tribulation. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Tribulation is a word that just means pressure. A pressing together. And there's all kinds of situations where we can be under pressure. And in all those situations, God is able to strengthen us in those pressure situations. And then notice the purpose here. As Paul thinks about God and what He does, there's a purpose to this. Verse 4 again, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So God has a purpose in the comfort that He gives, the divine strengthening, and that is to be made useful to others. It's not just for ourselves alone, but when God has comforted us, strengthened us in some situation, we see that there's the opportunity to minister to others. The Apostle Paul went through a lot, as we know, and even in 2 Corinthians, we have this list in chapter 11 of everything that Paul had gone through, or many of the high pressure situations. And he's giving his defense of himself in 2 Corinthians 11:23. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. So Paul was a man who was experienced when it came to pressure. He had all different kinds of pressure, more than any of us probably have been through. And Paul recognized that all those things came to him. God sustained him through that so that he could comfort other people. So comfort is something that we don't just receive from God, something that we are to try to give to other people because of what we have experienced ourselves. And then Paul tells us there's a sufficiency of comfort. In verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And this is actually a reason for this ministry of comfort to other people. We can have that ministry, I think Paul is saying, because we can count on what he's saying in verse 5, that there's going to be a sufficient level of grace that we can have, of comfort. Actually, that's what that word consolation is. That's the same word for comfort. Another way to translate it. We can count on an abundance of suffering. If anybody that's honestly reading the Bible is going to recognize that God's people are going to have suffering. You know, it's just not being honest for us to think even that we're going to get away from pressure and sufferings. And even here, the sufferings of Christ abound in us. You know, that's what we can expect, really, an abundance of suffering, even because we follow Christ. That's the reality. But there's something that goes along with that. Consolation. Abounding consolation. Abounding comfort. So our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. So yes, there's sufferings are going to abound. But we can also count on comfort that abounds. And the sufferings may abound a little more. What can we count on? Comfort to abound a little more. There's a sufficiency there. And that all comes from God. And as Paul is praying here, he's just praising God for that. So, just another short prayer that Paul is introducing here. So let's go to the questions that we have here, just as we think about this prayer and maybe more the application of it. But let's just start with thinking about prayer. First two questions have to do with that. And you could do this with any prayer, I think, in the Bible. Give some instructions, number one, about how to pray based on this prayer. This is just another biblical prayer. What instructions could you give? Say you're trying to show someone else how to pray. You have this prayer. What instructions would you give about how to pray based on this prayer? Any thoughts on that? Yes, Mr. Lewis.
Like Jesus mentioned as well, that the first thing you want to do is recognize God as our Father.
Okay, yeah, he starts with the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of mercies. So, good. Anybody else? What instructions would you give about prayer? How to pray? Yes, Mr. Renard.
Well, Stokel here tells me that Paul prays because the way he does, because of the fact of what he has been through. So he's humbled himself and put his heart into the prayer. And that's how we should pray. That that people can feel the concern in our hearts as we pray for them and to them and about them, whatever the situation may be. And I think that's what Paul was demonstrating here. He humbled himself and just poured his heart out and to show the people that, look what happened to me and how the Lord blessed me by his grace, by his comfort.
All right, so just pray your heart. What's been on your heart? Okay, anybody else? What instructions would you give for prayer based on this prayer? Yes, Mrs. Cosman.
I think for one to understand that though you're going through troubles and tribulations, to recognize that God hasn't forsaken that He wants to provide the comfort. So we need to go to Him during those times, not live in questioning where is God.
All right, so go to God even in those times of trouble. Okay, anyone else? Can you think of any instructions for prayer? Yes, Barb.
I would say continue, regardless of your trouble, to praise God and to remember who He is and all that He is and all that He will give you. Like, just keep praising Him and remembering even during the times of trial.
Okay, continue to praise God. It's just a simple thing to remember. Praise God during those prayers. Okay, anyone else? Think of any other instructions you'd give? John. Okay, have a reverence and an expectation as we pray. Okay, anyone else? Yes, Pastor Gosper.
I think of the scripture, we have not because we ask not. That goes along with our, the Lord wants us to be continually asking Him to help us through our in the trials. Not just to say, because I know the Lord, I think he wants us continually to come before Him and seek that grace that He would give.
All right. Good. Anyone else? Think of any instructions about prayer? Yes. Becky. Yeah. Yeah, so question about, when we pray, we're supposed to ask, but there's also, we need to be content as well. And we learned, as we went through the Quieting a Noisy Soul, that, contentment is such a big problem with many of our human problems can be traced back to that. And it's a good question. Anybody have an answer? Yes, Mr. Lewis.
I don't think it's just contentment. I think it's perseverance in your prayers. Jesus gave you examples there about continually asking and your neighbor and so forth like that. And I just think it's a show of faith and patience and perseverance. And at the same time, praying for God's will.
Okay. Any other thoughts on that? Yes, Norm?
Sometimes no is an answer.
All right, yeah. Sometimes no is an answer that God gives. And he may see because of maybe that request wasn't given with the right motivation. And so in His grace, He says no. But I remember as we went through that series, I think he talked about at times, okay, you may have legitimate concerns. You know, there may be things that you don't have the right attitude about, but there are legitimate concerns you have. And Philippians 4, 6, and 7 was brought up many times where we commit those legitimate concerns to God in prayer. And then we have the peace that passes all understanding as a result of doing that. But I think that kind of leads into the next question here. What kind of attitude must we have to pray as Paul did here? And, you know, that question Becky dealt with was maybe answers one part of that. The attitude not to have would be, you know, an attitude of just discontent, ungratefulness. So what would be the opposite of that? You know, an attitude of gratefulness and thanksgiving to God. That's what Paul obviously had as he came to God and he was praising God for His comfort and consolation. And any other thoughts about that? What kind of attitude must we have to pray in this way? Yes, Scott.
Well, I think to back up to something just came to my mind, James 5:16. You know, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so that word fervent is, you know, passionate, you know, nonstop.
All right, so yeah, there's the fervency in prayer that we see Scripture teaching, and so we may need to be persistent in our prayers too, come again and again. So, good. Anyone else? Is the attitude that we need to have in prayer? Yes, Tom.
I think probably this is another way of saying it, but an attitude of believing, which would require knowledge, but, you know, the world who knows not the Lord with their struggles or whatever they're going through in life, they're on their own. But if you believe and trust in the Lord, that, you know, He's going to do what's right for you, what's best for you, and you have that attitude that He's there for us to teach us and help us along. The world don't have that.
All right, good, good. Now, faith, need it. Have believing prayer. Good. Anyone else? Any other attitudes come to your mind? Yes, Bob?
I think one of the things we must remember is that we are a body of believers. When one hurts, when one part hurts, we all hurt. When one is happy and glorified and the Lord is fully blessed, we're happy for them. And when we pray for them, we have to remember this is the way we have to pray for them. Thank you, Lord, for making them happy, giving them what they needed and wanted and desired. And, of course, that don't come every day, but yet it's there. And so we have to remember that even when we are blessed of God, we are also tested by God. We have to remember that, well, somebody here, a part of the body is hurting. And we have to be in recognition of that, that we don't go overboard and judge like Job's friends did. This is the reason you're having this problem, because you sinned. We have to be compassionate so that we can comfort each other as a body of believers.
Okay, good. Compassion towards one another is needed. Right. Any other thoughts? Yes, Steve.
It's an attitude of praising God for who He is. You know, the Father of mercy and the comfort and so forth. And I think you also mentioned in that book. So much different. Going to God of love and merciful and comfort compared to the heathen when they had their gods. They were fearful and dreadful. So when we pray, we recognize submission, gratefulness to our God.
Okay, good. Yeah, we don't need to be afraid coming to God like pagan deities, but the Father of mercies. All right. Let's go on to number three here. Just thinking about trials and tribulations and suffering in these next questions. What are some of God's promises concerning trials and suffering from this passage or other passages? There's many other ones, but yes, surely. All right. If He doesn't take us from them, He'll see us through them. Good. All right, anybody else? John.
Then we're going to have them.
Okay, we're going to have them. Yeah. Yes, Tom.
About these trials and sufferings really aren't even worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed someday. This world is over. These are just but for a moment.
Okay, the temporary, it's nothing in comparison to future glory. Good. Anyone else? There are some promises. Yes, Jenny.
They're accomplishing something and we're to even consider them good or count them as joy.
Okay, they are accomplishing something. And I think James says, count it all joy. You fall into divers temptations. Okay, anyone else? Yes, Mrs. Gossman.
Part of the purpose of our tribulation and the comfort
all right. So God has a purpose for us to have ministry even through that. Okay. Any other promises just about trials come to your mind? Okay. He will never leave you or forsake you. That's an important one. All right, anyone else? Becky.
In verse 4, it talks about He comforts us in tribulation that we may be able to comfort. And at Bennington, there was a German lady quite a few years ago that was dying, and everyone was blessed that went in her room. She just had such a sweetness about her and was kind. And I think gave comfort to other people. And she did, from all I could tell, she truly trusted the Lord. So even though she was going through very hard, difficult times, she was a blessing to others. And so I think we need to realize if we are suffering, that through that we learn to comfort others because we've been through it.
Okay, good, good. Right. Anyone else? As you think about God's promises concerning trials. I put down probably something I already mentioned here, but this one, God will provide a sufficient amount of comfort to meet the trial. I think we already mentioned that, but 1 Corinthians 10:13 is one that we can remember in any situation, but God will not allow us to be tempted above our ability. I'll just read that. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So that's another important promise too. Yes?
I remember Pastor Fox saying a lot of times, he said that God has promised us grace for the day. He says we get ourselves in trouble when we think of tomorrow or next week or next month. We don't land on the grace for the day. At least that's where we start getting in trouble.
Yeah, we start worrying about the future and instead of just concentrating on what we have today. Yeah. Okay. Let's go on to the next one here. In what situations might people experience tribulation and suffering? So what situations might people be experiencing some type of pressure? What are the situations? This is probably, you know, it's too many to count really, but what are some of the situations?
Health problems, family problems,
work. Okay. Health, family, work, problems in all those areas? Home maintenance, okay. That's a pressure at times. All right. Anybody else? Yes, Bob.
I was going to say it's just walking by faith. That's hard enough as it is.
Okay. All right. Yeah, just living life, living as a Christian even. So what else? What other situations might people experience? Yes.
Our health.
Okay. Yeah, it's injustice, some unfair treatment, an accident can come into somebody's life. Okay, good. What other situations might people experience?
Having children,
just trying to be a good parent. Okay, parenting. That's a high pressure at times. Anyone else? Yes, Steve.
Probably number one is having a testimony for Christ.
Okay, yeah, just having a testimony for Christ can be a pressure. Anything else? Yes, Pastor Gosper.
We're entering a time in our own country that we have not experienced in the past. Basically a country of Christian principles that I think of just in the news this last week, a man that was suspended from his teaching position because he said that there was a difference between a man and a woman. We're seeing just standing for those things that are true in the scriptures, standing for the Lord. I think we may see much more of that in our own country, in our own situation, of that we've read about people in the past and in other nations, but that we've not experienced in our own country.
Okay, yeah. I saw that too. I think it was a gym teacher who was fired or put on leave because he wouldn't lie to the students, I think he said, about their gender. So, persecution. That's going to be a pressure. There's a lot of things changing right now. So many different situations, fatigue, just being worn out with your life at times. That can be a pressure. Bad relationships, difficult people, conflict. There's financial, there's debt. That can be a pressure as well. So then number five, how can we better comfort people in these situations? So how can we better comfort people in these situations? We came up with the situations, so now let's try to comfort people in those situations. So how can we do that? John. Okay. Counting your blessings, being grateful, trying to focus on that. All right. Anybody else? How can we better comfort people in those? Yes, Debbie. Okay, just be there for them. Be in touch with them. Something you can do to help them in another area to take a pressure off so they don't feel that as well. Good. Yes, Bob.
Well, scriptures tell us to be quick to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath. So I think of most people, all they need is someone they can talk to. Just to be there for them, just to listen.
Okay, listen. Yeah, that goes a long way. Listening. Anybody else? What can you do? How could you comfort people in those situations? Yes, Becky.
I think like everyone was saying, be there, listen. He and his wife weren't really believers, but this Christian man that they didn't even know somehow knew, and daily would come and just be with him, and just sit with him, and just be there, and if he wanted to talk, he could, but that would be so hard to do, but to make yourself very available. And then also, I think as Christians, a lot of times, as human beings, we bring our problems on ourselves, sometimes life choices. I think we have to be so careful not to judge and to love and just be supportive.
All right. Good reminders. All right. Anyone else? How can we comfort those people? Yes, Barb.
Remind them that Christ suffered and he understands their feelings and what they're going through, and he is for them.
Okay, point them to Christ. Yeah. Okay, anyone else? Other thoughts, how to comfort those people in those situations? And I think prayer, we can add that to the recipe too. Prayer with those people, for those people. You know, some of those things we have gone through. And that's the point here that Paul's making in this prayer, that, you know, God takes you through things so that you can help somebody in a similar situation. And so it may be that the way that you comfort them is to go through it yourself and be able to come alongside that person and help them with what you've been helped by. So, good. All right, this last question, almost out of time here, but how can we help young people deal with trials? How can we help young people deal with trials? Maybe your children or grandchildren. Yes, Mrs. Gossman.
The importance of preparing them before the trials come. They need to be well-grounded in
Christian principles of standards and what God's design for them is, what Scripture says about it, and teaching them to have a daily relationship with God that strengthens them for when they're out.
Okay. Good thoughts. Preparing them in advance. Okay. Anybody else? How can we help young people deal with trials, especially? Yes, Mr. Renard.
By the chain of command. Jesus Christ set the example for each one of us as parents, and we set the example for our kids. They see how we survive in different circumstances and different events that happen, and they model that. We can tell our kids, no, you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that, but if we are doing the same thing that we tell them not to do, now we're being a hypocrite. And there's no example there is, don't worry about it, just let it go. That's not what we want for our kids. We want our kids to know, and any young kid, whether it be ours or whoever, want them to know that this is how the Scriptures tell us that we are.
All right, good. Yeah, our example, very important. That's good. Anyone else? Yes, Barb.
Don't rush to fix it for them, but help them with the tools to improve on their through it, or to get themselves out of it, or whatever the case may be, but don't fix it for them.
Okay.
Don't solve the problem.
All right. May need to feel that a little bit. Anybody else? Jenny?
Well, our kids are so young, so a lot of times their trials don't seem like that big a deal to me. So you're much better at taking the time to actually listen and, you know, taking them seriously so they can learn going through the smaller things. You know.
All right. Yeah, our kids are young, but they do have trials. They don't seem that important sometimes, but they can still be worked through, I guess, in similar ways. Anybody else? Yes, Pastor Gossman.
To give them continual exposure to Christians that have gone through those trials, whether it be through, I think of ones that we had in our own home, missionaries. I think the children hearing the missionary stories, the missionaries come to the church and talk about things that they've had to go through. I think just giving them an exposure to, in many different ways, those that have been comforted by the Lord through their trials and persecution.
Okay, good. Yeah, exposing them to others that have experienced difficult things. So, all right. Well, we're going to have to stop it there. There's a lot more that could be said, but let's close in prayer here. Thank you for your participation. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a God of all comfort and the Father of mercies. And we thank you that you comfort us in all our tribulation and that you expect us to comfort others with that same comfort that we've received. And so we ask you to give it to us, give us wisdom as we minister to others, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.